नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम एथ कैंटो चैप्टर वन एंटाइटल्ड द मनुज एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट 19 स्वरो चिशो टेक्स्ट 18 बिफोर दैट देयर इज 17 श्री शुक उवाच इति मंत्रोपनिषदम् व्याहरन्तं समाहितं दृष्ट्वा सुरा यातुधाना जग्धुम यद्रवन क्षुदा शुकदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड स्वयंभुव मनु वॉज दस इन अ ट्रांस चैंटिंग द मंत्रस ऑफ वेदिक इंस्ट्रक्शन नोन एज द उपनिषद्स अपॉन सीइंग हिम द राक्षसास एंड असुरस बीइंग वेरी हंग्री wanted to devour him. Therefore, they ran after him with great speed. There is no purport to that. Next is text 18. Tams tatha vasitan viksha. Tams tatha vasitan viksha. यज्ञः सर्वगतो हरिः यज्ञः सर्वगतो हरिः यामै परिवृतो देवैर् यामै परिवृतो देवैर् हत्वा शासत्रिविष्टपम् हत्वा शासस्त्रिविष्टपम् स्मॉल मिस्टेक यस्टरडे टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 वाज रिटन विच हैड नो परपोर्ट एंड देन द 18 वाज रेड एंड द परपोर्ट वाज रेड एंड टुडे द पर्सन हु रोट मैकेनिकली द नेक्स्ट वन विच वाज ऑलरेडी डिस्कस्ड यस्टरडे सो टुडे इज द 19th वन एनीवे वी आर बेनिफिटेड बाय 3 श्लोकास टुडे hearing the very devotional translations. So, this shloka translates as, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Yajnapati, observed that the Rakshasas and demons were going to devour Swayambhuva Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied by his sons named the Yamas and by all the other demigods, killed the demons and Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom. Text 19. Swaro chisho dvitiyastu manuragre suto bhavad dyumna susheno rochisham प्रमुखास्तस्यचात्मजाः द सन ऑफ अग्नि नेम्ड स्वारोचिश बिकेम द सेकंड मनु हिज सेवरल सन्स वर हेडेड बाय द्युमत सुषेण एंड रोचिष्मत पर्पोर्ट मन्वंतरम मनुर्देवा मनुपुत्रा सुरेश्वरः ऋषयोशीश्वरास्ताश्च हरे षड्विधम् उच्यते देर आर मेनी इनकार्नेशंस ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड मनु द मनुपुत्राः द सन्स ऑफ मनु द किंग ऑफ द हेवनली प्लैनेट्स एंड द सेवन ग्रेट सेजेस आर ऑल पार्शियल इनकार्नेशंस ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड मनु हिमसेल्फ हिज सन्स प्रियव्रत एंड उत्तानपाद द डेमिगॉड्स क्रिएटेड बाय दक्ष And the rishis like Marichi were all partial incarnations of the Lord during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu. During that time, the incarnation of the Lord as Yajna took charge of ruling the heavenly planets. The next Manu was Swarochisham. The Manus and the sages and demigods are further described in the following 11 verses. This chapter is entitled Manus, the Administrators of the Universe. Srimad Bhagavatam basically contains several subject matters as any other Puranas. And one of them is Manvantara Ishanu Katha Nirodho Mukti Rashraya. Manvantara. How the Lord Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Mutayaha Manvantara Ishanu Katha Nirodho Muktir Ashraya. These are the 10 subject matters discussed in the Bhagavatam. Sarga, creation. Visarga, secondary creation. Sthanam, how everything is situated. Poshanam, how everything is sustained. Utayaha, how everyone is getting the impetus to act. And Manvantara, how the different Manus, the administrative assistants of the Lord, the demigods, the Saptarishis, the Manus, how they manage the affairs of the universe. Ishanu Katha, whenever the Lord descends among any among them, how does He actually establishes Dharma, removes the miscreants, protects the pious, repeatedly in various ways, to various extents. Nirodho Muktir Ashraya, how the ultimate different levels of liberation, ultimate liberation, and ultimately taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. These are the subject matters discussed. So herein we find how the Lord expanded Himself and through Prajapatis He populated the whole universe. But the nature of the world is people have come to, it's like a prison house, to act independently from the Lord to various degrees. And therefore, there will always be different levels of people. There will be people who are very obedient to the instructions of the Lord, and they perfectly execute the will of the Lord, and their progeny continue. Sometimes those fall away because of not being able to uphold for various reasons. For their own limitations and shortcomings within, they may fall and or become weak. Some gradually totally divert from the path and become demoniac. And some are by nature demoniac. All levels, all shades of people will always remain. And eternally there is going to be a fight. That's the nature of this world. Never was there a time that this thing did not exist. The pure souls who want to actually spread this message, uphold the message, and those who are simply struggling and somehow fall or sometimes deviate and divert, and those who are eternally, practically, so to say, against the will of the Lord and against anyone who is trying to execute the will of the Lord. So here we find administrators of the universe. The Manu is trying to meditate and trying to, you know, execute the will of the Lord. And then there are these demoniac Rakshasas and what is the other word used? The demons and the Rakshasas. They attacked and he was in danger. So Bhagavatam is like a law journal, expansion of Bhagavad Gita, which is like a law book. A law book states the essential principles. You don't find any story in Bhagavad Gita. Pure, hardcore, essential truths. Principles. And the Bhagavatam elaborates and explains with all its subtle nuances and intricacies through various beautiful pastimes and historical incidents that have occurred in various universes, in this universe, in various planetary systems, and various places within this planet at various times, time periods. Therefore, sometimes very, very mystical kind of stories are heard. People living for 60,000 years, 2 lakh years, people devouring oceans, walking from one planet to another as we move from one area of Bombay to other, Sayan to Borivali. Similarly, some demons would travel from here to Indraloka, conquer, go to other loka, conquer. So sometimes it may seem too mystical and too kind of fairy tale like. But the principle essentially remains the same. As Krishna says in the Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya nishkritam. So, here, Manus, the administrators of the universe, how the Lord administers, how He runs the whole show. Now, this is explained in 2 verses in the Bhagavad Gita, how He populates the whole universe. In one essential statement, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Finished. This is the principle. Ultimately, it's all coming from Krishna through the Prajapatis, Brahma, and then the Prajapatis is, subsequent procreation and expansion and population. But the essence is, they're all coming from Krishna. They're all connected to Him. And therefore, they should revive that connection. That's the principle. And here, the administrators of the universe. Now, what is the essential principle of all this managerial thing that is explained in the 4th chapter, first 2-3 verses? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan ahamavyayam vivasvan manave praha manurikshvakave bravid. This is the purpose. Prabhupada, in that Bhagavad Gita 4.1 purport, elaborates. This is the historical lineage of Bhagavad Gita, how it has been transferred. Imam Vivasvate Yogam. I gave it to Vivasvan. Why Vivasvan? Because he is the protector, maintainer and sustainer of the whole planets. The Super Rajarshi. Vivasvan. Yachakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja. Sakalagrahanam Raja. Without the sun, no other planets can be sustained, for nourished. So first I gave it to sun god. Vivasvate, Vivasvan. He gave it to Manu, the progenitor of mankind. Manu Rikshvakave Bravid. And he gave it to Ikshvaku, the head of this planet Earth. So all executive heads were given this knowledge. Universal executive head, interplanetary executive head, planetary executive head, and he is to give to all the state executive heads, and he is to give it to all organizational executive heads. This is how it was a tree, how it was made sure that the principle was there. But evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. Raja Rishis, they were Rishis and they were kings. They were executive heads with a clear vision. They were the heads of society. Head has a big function. We don't realize. Head, can you imagine a body without a head? Most important. Why? Because it sees on behalf of the body. The head has the vision. Where am I supposed to go? Which direction? Where I am not supposed to go? Without the eyes. Therefore, head is most important. and it has to hear on behalf of the body. He has to hear some injustice, some cries or complaints and immediately address it. Think, head. Head means it has to think of a solution. Go to the root of the problem and solve it. It has to smell out at the earliest. Not that the body is burnt, even before it is burnt, something is burning, immediately put off. And it has to speak on behalf of the body. So these are the heads. Of course, it should be connected to the heart, otherwise a heartless head is very difficult. So, the heads of the society, the executive heads, were supposed to know this knowledge. Evam parampara praptam. In this unbroken chain of disciplic succession, imam rajarishiyo viduhu. The rajarishis were supposed to know this. And this is exactly this whole, I mean, the whole incident is basically comes down, boils down to this principle. That these manus, who are the administrators of the universe, Prabhupada writes in the purport that what is the function of this kings? The kings were trained as rajarshis for protection of the inhabitants. This was the main function, protection of the inhabitants. From what? From material bondage to lust, and thus wasting the human form of life. So they were equipped with the knowledge how to manage the affairs in such a way that they would protect all their inhabitants from material bondage to lust, perverted version of love. When pure love of God, due to the mode of passion and ignorance, is perverted, that is called as lust. And that is the greatest enemy as described in the Gita. Enemy means who acts for you against your welfare. So when influenced by lust, we act in a way that is actually against our welfare. So to protect individually and collectively from wasting their human life, they were responsible to see that individually and collectively, no one wasted their precious human form of life. How? So Prabhupada says, the kings must impart to people this knowledge through education, culture, and devotion. First of all, educate. Educate people about what is the goal of life. Ignorance is the greatest enemy. In ignorance, there is exploitation. But when people are educated, then rather than exploiting, they will start serving. Understanding that that's going to give them happy. In ignorance, they think exploiting, I'll become happy. But by education, they understand. And then culture. Yes, everyone may be educated, but there has to be a favorable environment. A culture. Culture of God-centered lifestyle, where every activity that is done individually and collectively in society, they are to be God-centered. That is Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram culture, where everyone is happy, everyone is satisfied, everyone is appreciated and respected, and everyone is protected and maintained. So, that was the responsibility of the executive head. And devotion. Without devotion, all culture and all education is useless. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya jatihi shastram japaha tapaha aprana sevadeha simandanam lokaranjanam. It's like a body without decoration on a dead body, very cultured and very educated, but no devotion. It is like decorations on a dead body, unattractive to any intelligent person. So this was the responsibility of the Manus. But in Kali Yuga now, all those, we neither have our disconnection from demigods and Manus and the Saptarishis, seven sages, which change every Manvantara, the demigods change. Somebody becomes Indra, somebody takes the position of Saptarishi. Saptarishis are like the governing body, you know, seven-member governing body committee. They keep discussing. Looks like there's something is happening. We have to go. You go correct that. They travel all over to make sure that everything is properly. And if an issue comes up, they address it and make sure that it is solved. That is the purpose of the Saptarishi. Rishi. Who are these rishis? That is explained in the Bhagavatam right at the outset. This whole Bhagavatam began because rishis were discussing. Naimishe Animisha Kshetri Rishaya Shaunakadaya Swargam Satra Swargaya Satram Swargaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. First of all, they chose a very holy place, very centrally located. Where you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. So they went to a holy place where performing sacrifice would actually influence all the universe. The demoniac influence would be reduced. So they chose a very sacred place. Naimishe Animisha Kshetre. It was a place of Lord Vishnu. Very interesting. We have our GVC meetings in Mayapur. The center. So, Rishayaha Shaunakadaya. They were the rishis. And Prabhupada explains very nicely in the purport, who are the rishis? Generally in Ramayana and Mahabharata, we see rishi means they have to have a very grave voice. Ram, you have to do this. Or having tied matted hair and, you know, wearing all kinds of paraphernalia. Forest, tree barks or saffron. Rishi means immediately you have to see. But explains what exactly is Rishi. Rishi means deeply concerned for the welfare of the whole world. Deeply concerned for the welfare of the whole world. Generally, ordinary people are not concerned about the bigger family. They are considered with restricted immediate family, or sometimes people become so selfish, they think only about themselves, forget about the family also. Therefore, even family sometimes is breaking down. Why? Because they are concerned about themselves. I want what I want when I want. If I can get, okay, otherwise, no principle of concern, sacrifice or extending to support or help, assist in advancing. So that is Kali Yuga. Very, 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 very self-centered. Selfish and egoistic civilization. As the mode of passion and ignorance. But actually, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. When gradually a person, that concern increases not only to one's own immediate family, but to the extended family of the community and ultimately to the nation and international and then ultimately species and planetary, ultimately the whole, you know, all the living entities, Pandita Samadarshina, such a person. So first is deep concern for the welfare of the others, deep concern for the sufferings of every living entity who is in ignorance. That is the rishi. But concern is only one thing. In marriageinial term, they say circle of concern and circle of influence. Circle of concern is, the greenhouse effect is happening and what is happening to the oceans. But what can you do about it? It will unnecessarily make you paralysis by analysis. You go into depression.
Because there are so many problems in the world. AIDS, this and this and this. Simply concern. No point in just feeling concern. If you don't know what to do with it. So some people may have opened some organization, social organization, political organization, cultural organization, out of concern for people, but that concern is not based on sound knowledge. They don't know what is the root cause of the problem, how to solve that problem. So therefore, generally most of these people who have concern to some extent or the other end up performing superficial patchwork activities. But the people whom they are trying to serve are frustrated and they themselves are also don't find satisfaction and happiness. And ultimately they die a miserable death. But the sages here, not only were they concerned, but they actually knew what is real welfare. Therefore, right at the center of the universe, they sat in a place where all the demoniac influence will be finished and they wanted to perform a sacrifice 1,000 years. That means practically their whole life. Practically their whole life. They wanted to offer it. So, first is concern. And next is knowledge. So that actually you can do something. But third and most important thing is many people may know. I know the root cause of the problem. But they have no inclination or the compassion to actually go out and execute that activity. But true sages are those whose life is a life of sacrifice. Not only are they deeply concerned, full of compassion within their heart, not only are they knowledgeable of what is the root cause of the problem and how to address it, but they practically sacrifice their whole life. They dive into that fire and sacrifice for the purpose of expansion of this knowledge. Like a seed thrown into the ground sacrifices itself to produce a tree with 1,000 and billion seeds. Those seeds, if they sacrifice, they transcend into so many seeds. But if that seed simply stays without entering the ground and losing its existence, completely giving up its existence to create another tree and hundreds of seeds, what is the use of that seed? And so that is the principle of Rishi. Deep concern, full knowledge of how to address that concern, and a life of dedication to that mission of delivering the man. That's why Srila Prabhupada was so excited. Even before he went to America, even before he started this BTG, he said, he would tell, he addressed one Mr. Bose, Dr. Bose or something. He said, I have found out the solution to solve all the problems. How a person can go back home, back to Godhead. He said, I found it out. But I just want to share it. Somehow by good fortune, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, I found it out. And therefore, his whole life we see, right from the beginning, was there. It's very interesting. This, before beginning this eighth canto, part of this eighth canto, Srila Prabhupada writes the in chapter 1, Prabhupada, as his beginning, even before writing the summary of this canto, he writes two paragraphs. And these two paragraphs speak about this concern and this knowledge and this dedication. First of all, let me offer my humble, respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master is Divine Grace Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. Sometime in the year 1935, when His Divine Grace was staying at Radhakund, I went to see him from Bombay. At that time, he gave me many important instructions in regard to constructing temples and publishing books. He personally told me that publishing books is more important than constructing temples. This is another thing. He said, he personally told me that publishing books is more important than constructing temples. What does that mean? Is temple construction not important? Is simply publishing books important? What's really important is the message has to be expanded and the purity has to be maintained. Because billions of people are born every day and billions die every day. Some may die along with their whatever experience and knowledge they have. Unless you sacrifice to give that message, to preserve that message, generation after, this is the biggest challenge. To maintain the same spirit. Many Prabhupada disciples say, you people can never understand what it was to be with Prabhupada. It was something different. They're fortunate souls. They experienced it. We don't know. Still, that fortune, that spirit at least, can be communicated. How? Manu expresses here. In text 7, he says, Viraktaha kamabhogeshu shatarupapati prabhu visrijya rajyam tapasi sadharye vanamavishat. Swayambhu Manu, the husband of Shatarupa, was by nature not at all attached to enjoyment of the senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom and sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities. So two things. First, virakta kama bhogeshu. Prabhu, he was in a very, very powerful position where facilities are there and also control is there. Prabhu. So even though he was Prabhu, virakta kama bhogeshu, gross and subtle kind of sense gratification. Gross in terms of enjoying, what is that? Wine, women, and wealth. www.com. www. Dot. Unless you put a dot, you can't be calm. Gross. These are the gross ones. And then worship. That is the fourth W, which is very difficult. So, virakta kama bhogeshu and visrijya rajyam tapasi. At the right time, he just walked away to set an ideal example of how to actually perfect even one's own life. In spite of all this powerful controllership. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, he understood the message is more important. Structure, the temple, is a facility to give the message. Structure without function becomes dead. We have a structure so that the function can be carried out. And what is the function? The purity of the message should be given to as many people as possible. These books represent pure message as it is, without addition, without concoction. And the more we distribute these books, the message is being distributed. It's not simply just publishing books and distributing. Maintaining the purity of the message and quality and then quantity. The message should be distributed to as many people as possible. That's sacrifice. That is sacrifice. So by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, of course we have no concern. But at least we know what is the solution. By working in the mission of a compassionate soul, even though we may have no compassion within our heart, we get the benefit of having acted compassionately. And eventually, gradually, because of purification by engaging in a mission of compassion, compassion will gradually come. At least for the immediate surrounding, if not in Australia or Africa, which is too far away. We can't even relate. If we hear 1,000 die in Africa in a famine, Kali Yuga. 100 are about to die in Bombay. Hey, that is something that we can immediately relate. We can see and we can feel actually. So, the farther, it's very difficult for us. So that is first thing he says. He personally told me, publishing books is more important than constructing temples. Which means, the function of this whole parampara is to spread this message. And the structure should be a facility. Otherwise, how could people gather so many people? You know, how to sit comfortably? Unless we are nice, you know, AC room and a nice... Peacefully we can listen to the message. Sitting in Chowpatti, hot sun and the traffic around, very difficult. The message is so subtle to appreciate. The structure facilitates the function. Anyway, the whole thing is there. And then one more thing. I am continuously trying to publish books as suggested by my spiritual master. Now in this year, 1976, I have completed the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And a summary of the 10th canto has already been published as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, the 8th canto, the 9th canto, the 10th canto, 11th canto and 12th canto are yet to be published. On this occasion, therefore, I am praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish this work. And this is in a very nice... So this is about the goal. Now he says, what is the role to execute this function? I am praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish the work. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master. And to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. So here he tells what is his role and what is his goal. He says, number one, he says, I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him. This is the goal. The role is, I am not this, naham vipro na cha narapatir na vivaisho na shudro naham varni. I am not anything else. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master. And what is the goal in that role? Is I am simply trying to do the best of my ability. This is sacrifice. The best of my ability to please him. And the last sentence he says, fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating this publication. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was not concerned, success, no success. For him, the success was, I tried my best and my Guru is pleased. This is the live connection of the parampara. We don't know. We can't judge by external success or failure. Does that mean that for first 40 years when Prabhupada was struggling, was he not successful? Only last 10 years he was success. That means at that time the endeavors were not pure, were not fully, was he not putting his best? No. You can't judge like that. Arjuna was successful on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but when he was returning back, same Gandiva, same chariot, same everything, nothing happened. He was super failure. Said, my Lord, probably you don't want. You have some other, your will. Simply becoming an instrument in the hands. And whatever way he manifests that mercy. So beautifully, the spirit of this chapter is by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement already there in these two paragraphs. That is a rishi. It's not that rishis are dead and gone. It's not that they have to be wearing saffron and have tied their heads in matted hair. Rishi means, this is the parampara. Raja Rishi, And then there is another parampara of course, there are no rajas nowadays. Forget about rishis. Simply plunderers. That's what Kali says. Kali Yuga Lakshan is already, the symptoms are described. They will be simply be plunderers, the executive heads of state. No concern, no knowledge, and no sacrifice for the welfare of the people whom they are actually supposed to represent. Andhayathandhai upaniyamana. Therefore, the other parampara has to take responsibility. And that is, you know, through Brahma and through all this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya and the other sampradayas. The sages have to take up their responsibilities. What to do? Kings are not there. And truly, we must understand this parampara, the effect and its execution is absolutely not different, non-different from what it was in Satyuga, in Dwapar, and in Treta Yuga. Only thing is, the external manifestation may vary, but the principle is still the same. Last time I spoke, I will not be here for Prabhupada's appearance day, I'll be in Kolhapur. I thought I'll make my offerings here only to Prabhupada publicly, using this utility as a principle, you see. I was reading about Maharshi Agastya, one of the Saptarishis. One of the Saptarishis. Agastya is one of the Saptarishis during the time of Ramayana. Now, why was his name Agastya? Aga means mountain. Big, huge mountain. And Stayate means one who leveled the mountain or subdued the mountain. That is Agastya. So, it is described in Ramayana, the whole thing of Agastya comes. Vindhya mountain was trying to grow and compete with Himalayas. And Vindhya mountain, if it grew any longer, it would have divided the people of India, north and south. Nowadays we have that, so many parties, you know, this and that, separating. Even within the state, they want to break it down into another country, this stan and that stan. So, they're trying to break, and break means creating huge mountains. By traveling, he left that place where he was staying in the north and came and stayed in the south and made sure that the cultural unification of the whole country was there. He did not allow Vindhya. Just see, if you have two sides of the mountain, Himalaya, China and this, culture is different, language is different, everything becomes different. People can't identify, can't relate with each other, and a huge mountain of differences come. And they are separated. So Agastya cut off that mountain and established unification. And Srila Prabhupada, following in the same spirit, traveled all over the world and cut down all the mountains by establishing an international society. You meet a Chinese devotee, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. You meet an African devotee or you meet some American devotee. So many. Alps mountain is there, this mountain. So many mountains. But a society is established where no barrier of culture. Otherwise, imagine any other outsider of Bombay trying to relate to a Russian. Language you can't understand. Food habits are different. You just can't relate. They are different. We are different. There is no commonality. Absolutely there is no. And they can't relate to each other. They are foreigners. But then he removed all the mountain, not just Vindhya. And this mountain is most difficult to overcome. The egoistic mountain, the false ego. I am a South Indian. Even within that, I am Punjabi or Madrasi or whatever, caste. It's such a strong egoistic mountain. You can't relate to someone. Oh, They are living a different jati. Jati mountain, Desha mountain, so many mountains. But he broke all these mountains, huge, and established, he flattened everything. Another thing, Agastya was also a contemporary of Parshuram. Parshuram, in his spirit of wanting to destroy all the Kshatriyas, he traveled all over the planet and destroyed all the Kshatriyas except those who took shelter and begged forgiveness or whatever. Everyone else completely annihilated. And because of lack of Kshatriyas, there was no culture maintained. Everything was finished. Because good or bad, leader is essential. Without leader, everything is chaotic. So there was no culture practically. Agastya traveled all over the world. It's described in the Vedic scriptures. He traveled all over the planet and established. He created Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And eventually, they cultivated the other classes. He created Brahmanas all over the planet. Where there were none, he created. And we see Srila Prabhupada traveling the whole planet 14 times in those last few years, when people want to just retire and be happy and, you know, care for themselves and their prayena deva munayo swami mukti kama maunam charanti vijane na paratmanishtha, as Prahlad Maharaj says. But he traveled all over that time to create Brahmanas. Not Brahmanas, Vaishnavas. And today we see Vaishnavas, you know, all over the planet. Black body, yellow body, white body, beyond this bodily conception, creating true Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, showing clearly the Vedic conclusion that Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matta Sarvam Pravartate, the unification. Another thing, one glory of Agastya Muni, when he was in the south, there were these Rakshasas and Daityas and all kinds of people whose goal was to destroy Brahminical culture. And one of them was by name Iluvala. And he had a very nice plan of destroying the Brahmanas. He would invite the Brahmanas to his house for Pitri or Shraddha. And then his brother, whose name was Vatapi, he would convert him into a goat and take the meat of that goat and offer it to the Brahmana. Of course, that was, we must understand, that was not Kali Yuga. Palapaitrikam Devarena Sutotpattim Kali. In Kali Yuga, five things are forbidden, and one of them is as Palapaitrikam. Pala means meat. They had the power to digest. We can't. So they would offer him, and as soon as he ate it, he would shout, Vatapi, come out. And he would just break his belly and he would come out and he would kill. In this way, systematically, thousands and thousands of Brahmanas he had destroyed. So when Agastya went there, he called Agastya, and Agastya said yes. So he brought the goat meat and offered along with other paraphernalia for, and Agastya ate. And he says, "Oh, Vatapi," he says, "Vatapi jirno bhava." and he loudly belched out. And after that, he killed Iluvala also. His job was anyone against the Vedic culture to destroy. That is a representative of the Lord. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkratam. He was so powerful. Just like in Ramayana we find, you know, all these demons, wherever yajna is going on, wherever the rishis are there, they would come and drop all kinds of nonsense and destroy. Their whole job was not allow these guys to function and actually try to contaminate, pollute and destroy them eventually. This is the systematically plan of asuras, rakshasas, etc. And they are so powerful, nobody can destroy them. And there are no executive heads now. They themselves are turned into Ilvalas and Vatapis. How to destroy? Srila Prabhupada actually, in one sense, symbolically did that. Not symbolically, literally. Who are the demons of today? Materialistic philosophers, Darwin. Materialistic scientists. Materialistic politicians. Thinkers. Who in the world today are worshipped. And everyone is subordinate to them. Very difficult to throw out their opinion. Very difficult to convince people not to come under their influence. In fact, cultured Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas, fall prey to their philosophy, fall prey to their lines of thought, to their conclusions, and actually get completely destroyed of their culture, or of their education, and of all their devotion. But Srila Prabhupada, by his preaching, amazingly, fools and rascals, you see that, you know, that book, Life Comes from Life. Some of our devotees were really scared to give it to scientists, but one devotee would specifically go and give it to scientists. So fools and rascals, why are Swamiji is telling like this? When he went to the West, people were literally worshipping scientists, worshipping the philosophers, worshipping the politicians who stood for so-called, you know, communistic or what kind of philosophy. Amazing, going into the Iron Curtain and saying this whole damn thing will collapse within no time. It can't stand because it is falsely, it's just deviated, misunderstood philosophy. And exactly now it is broken into pieces. He predicted it when he went with Shamsundar. He said this won't last. This is not eternal truth. 80 years it lasted. The influence of this demon lasted for 80 years. And millions became prey to that. In that area. But sages like Srila Prabhupada traveled all over removing ignorance. First of all, removing the barriers, cultural barriers, by removing the egoistic, selfish conception of the bodily conception of life or any one extension of that. Establishing true Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, hoping that very soon the whole Varnashram system would come. And then also devouring and destroying the faith in the so-called leaders who are actually misguiding society to conclusions away from what they are actually supposed to do. Leaders. Leaders means representatives of the Lord. Guru na sasyat, sudra na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janini na sasyat, daivam na sasyat. You are unfit to become manu, unfit to become demigod, unfit to become sattarishi or anything. One of the sattarishis, Pulatsya, his son Vishrava and his son Dashagriva became a rogue, Ravana. So they threw him out of that committee. That Gotra, particular Gotra, was thrown out. Because Pulatsya, one of the great rishis, his grandson turned out to be such a demon. And now they became Rakshasa families. How come you may say Vishrava was a great saint, Pulatsya was a great sage? And all his followers are Rakshasas. So it was not just that suddenly son became a Rakshasa and, you know, suddenly born with horns and things. They took to their philosophy, which was absolutely demoniac. And that's how they became like that. With austerities and powers and acquired by different ways. So similarly, we find nice South Indian cultured Brahmanas. Then they go to the West and, you know, come out with so many theories and things like that. So polluted, contaminated, perverted. Potentially they can. So in this way, we see the Manus and the administrators of the universe. It was a great responsibility. And the sages in the Naimisharanya, that was their concern. And they asked six questions. The essence, the underlying spirit behind all these six questions is, how will the people of this day and age be delivered? Because lifespan is going to be so short in the future. Prayana alpayusha. Lifespan is so short. And even in that little lifespan, kalavasmin yugajana. So much fight and quarrel. Manda, lazy to take up spirituality. Sumanda matayo. Even if somebody comes out of laziness and wants to connect somewhere, so many people to misguide in the name of spirituality. Manda bhagya hai. Even somehow he stumbles into a right place. Connected with some parampara. So many distractions outside. Poor fellow comes, three times haribol, and next time never to be seen. Kya ho gaya? Nahi, wo dost ne bulaya, udhar chala gaya, abhi wo time ho gaya, udhar member ban gaya abhi. Some club. So he start coming to ISKCON club. So that was his haribol. Three times haribol was the last. Manda bhagya hai. And upadrataha, even if you come and stay, still upadrata, there are so many anxieties and troubles that are going to come. Because that is Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel and hypocrisy. So every word, first of all, manda, alpa yushaha, lifespan is so short. Before you understand, read all Prabhupada's books, you are finished, gone. Bhagavatam is still as it is lying there. Chaitanya Charitamrita lying. When will we read? Because lifespan is so short, people are too busy, no time. And in that so much fight and quarrel, in that laziness, somehow if you get out of that laziness, misguided. Somehow if you are guided, distractions, temptations. Somehow if you survive, still there are internal problems. And external problems even within the society. Full of anxiety, trouble, anxiety, fear, tension. Therefore, the sages are so concerned. All this is okay. Give us the essence now. Don't be. Give us a crash course. Crash course on the essence. That's what Mahaprabhu came to give. Haranamaiva kevalam kalavunasteva gatana. Even that we find it so difficult. Only Haranam. Bas, that itself is enough, Prabhuji. So difficult. 16 rounds every day. Is there no other way? Shorter cut? So difficult. But then it's up to us. We just have to take by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada the same thing. So it's not that these scriptures are, you know, age-old grandma stories. But even today, same thing. Only the externals may vary. The names may vary. The forms may vary. The lifespans may vary. The activities and the extent of it may vary, but the principle remains the same. Those who are sincerely struggling, so many obstacles will come. But to somehow maintain the purity of the message and to expand this message to as many in a spirit of sacrifice. A guru sacrifices. He sacrificed, Srila Prabhupada sacrificed to create so many. As I said, one seed sacrifices to produce so many seeds. Bhakti Lata Bij. Had he not done, what would have happened? No hopes for all of us. So, the only way we could express that gratitude is to extend as much as possible. First of all, to accept and not throw it away. And after having it, trying to share it with as many people as we can. As Srila Prabhupada is doing. He said, I took the order, I made the order my life and soul, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to execute it for his pleasure. That's all. Success, no success, I don't care. To the best of my ability, I am trying to execute. Then, we are also tiny sages, rishis. Doesn't matter what kind of dress we wear. Some rishi tattva will come in us. Some concern, some understanding, and some kind of effort to transform. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaur Premanandi.